Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And as you know, who are students in this class, once a week we deviate from our normal studies to some special study. And often when we're doing this, we read from the Rock Cliff Review, which is the bulletin passed out at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. But I'm going to do something a little different this time. I was asked to write a little article on what we can learn from Deborah. Now, Deborah being that judge of the Old Testament we read about in the book of Judges. It's for a publication called the Carolina Christian, I think that's the name of it. Anyway, the editor of that asked me to write this, and so I wrote this for them. And I'm going to read that article to you. It's a study of Deborah, and it doesn't take the track that many people take on Deborah these days, but you'll see this is the biblical track. This is what it says. We're introduced to Deborah in Judges 4 and verse 4. She was a prophetess, a wife, and a judge. The order of those roles may be an indication of her priorities, for as a prophetess, she had a responsibility to God. As a wife, she had a responsibility to her husband. And as a judge, she had responsibility to her community. Deborah was not a preacher, and she did not exercise authority she did not have. In all things, she was becomingly modest, shame-faced, sober, having an inward quietness, and an appropriate subjection, like the godly women of 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 through 15. She was powerful because she was a woman of faith and charity and holiness. Deborah did not make laws. As a judge, she helped people apply God's law to their situations. She did not go from village to village preaching like Jesus. People came to her for judgment, where she sat under her own palm tree in Judges 4 in verse 5. The New International Version says that Deborah held court, but they made that up. God wants men to preach and lead in prayer, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. Some women think that when men will not do this, then they can step out and do it themselves. Deborah was not like that. When Barak failed to lead the men of Israel against Sisera, Deborah did not try to lead the men herself. As a prophetess, Deborah knew God's will. She sent and called for Barak to admonish him. Barak is rightly faulted for not having already done what God told him to do. But to Barak's credit, he asked Deborah to go with him in Judges 4, verses 6 through 9. He knew Deborah was a woman of God, and Barak's dependence on Deborah was his dependence on God. This is why Barak is counted as a man of faith in Hebrews 11 and verse 32. A wise man knows the value of having a wise, godly woman at his side. Deborah did not go with Barak to be his commander. She went to be his helper, following God's own strategy, as it is laid out in the book of Judges, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Barak led his men to the top of Mount Tabor. This drew Sisera out, and he brought his chariots into the Kidron Valley. The storm God sent brought the brook out of its banks, and the rain and flood-soaked soil rendered Sisera's chariots useless. When Barak and his men came charging down the mountain, the Canaanites panicked and fled and were destroyed. We sing a children's song about Barak at Vacation Bible School. There was a wise old king who had 10,000 men. He marched them up a hill, and then he marched them down again. We should tell the children that Barak was not really a king, but like a king, he led the men of Israel in battle against the kings of Cana, Judges chapter 5 and verse 19. Deborah gave Israel a song of victory and praise. God had come to their rescue. Judges 5, verses 2 through 5. Israel was downtrodden until Deborah took the initiative. Judges 5, verses 6 through 11. From the top of Tabor, Deborah spurred Barak into battle. Judges 5, verses 12 through 19. God sent a flood that swept Sisera's chariots away. Judges 5, verses 20 through 23. And then Jael killed the Canaanite captain. Her story is told in Judges 5, 24 through 26. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail, and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head. And when she had pierced and stricken through his temples, the way Deborah sang of Sisera in his death throes is chilling. At her feet he bowed. He fell. He lay down. At her feet he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. Judges 5 and verse 27. Then she sang of Sisera's pathetic mother, awaiting her son's return in vain. Judges 5, 28 through 29. Deborah's song ends. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. Judges 5 and verse 30. Deborah is often more admired than Barak. This is not because of the role she played, but because of how she played her role. There are such Deborahs in our churches today. They encourage the preachers to preach sound and distinctive doctrine. They call things needing attention to the attention of the elders. I've been in Bible classes where it was evident that the women knew their Bibles better than the men. These are the wives and mothers who, by their chaste conversation coupled with fear, 1 Peter 3 and verse 2, have kept families together and have kept them faithful and strong. Their quietness, meekness, and submission are not born of weaknesses. These are their strengths. I knew a Deborah who was held in high esteem among her elders. She held no office of authority, but the shepherds of that congregation would often consult her concerning matters they were overseeing. She was a wise woman, and they were wise men. Those who put women in public positions of leadership in the churches, thinking to elevate them, degrade them. They do not understand women. Men are God. Jesus said that the greatest in his kingdom are servants. Matthew 23 and verse 11. And often the greatest of these servants are women. God chose men to lead his churches, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8, and 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1. And God chose women to be their helpers. It is by God's design that women are most powerful in their influence among the righteous when they are modest, charitable, and chaste. It is no accident that men grow in courage and faith when they have the company of godly women. If you ask a Deborah like that to be your preacher, she will set you straight. May God fill his churches with such Deborahs, and may God fill them with men who recognize their value and honor them. Now that was the article I wrote about Deborah. I want to return now to our studies about the life of Christ, before I do, I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Viola at the foot of Ben Lowen, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have a Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's return to our studies of the life of Christ. We're talking about false shepherds and a scarcity of laborers. And we noted that Jesus provided them there to be shepherds in his church. Now, they're often called elders or overseers or bishops. And we read about them in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31, and 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 5. All should know that shepherds are elders or bishops or overseers of the church in any given place. Elders, overseers, bishops, and pastors, they're all the same. These shepherds should perform their duty faithfully. The church will never be what God intends for it to be until they do this. Jesus then charged the figure of them, of that of sheep without a shepherd, to a ripe and abundant harvest, and with not enough laborers to gather it, in which they will be lost if they're not gathered in. And these two figures represent the same sad condition of unfortunate people. The laborers were few because there were not enough ready and willing to go to the distressed people. Now, God has a way of securing laborers, and that's the next section of this lesson. The great and crying need of the church, as well as of the world, is self-sacrificing, consecrated, unselfish, untiring laborers in the field, and true shepherds of God's flock who will lay down their lives for the sheep. The need was urgent when Jesus was on earth, but it is nonetheless urgent now. Jesus' way of making elders and preachers, then his way of making them now, just as his way, the only way of making Christians, is always the same. He raised no objection to proper education and strongly taught that the laborer is worthy of his hire. But his way of securing more laborers is not higher education and better pay. He never went to the worldly wise, the highly educated and wealthy, to select his apostles, and not many such ever become Christians either. Listen to these words Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 22, seeing that the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. And then down in verse 26, we read, for behold your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God chose the foolish things of this world, that he might put to shame them that are wise. And God chose the weak things of this world, that he might put to shame the things that are strong, and the base things of the world, and the things that are despised, did God chose, yea, the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in God, but of glory before God. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us the wisdom of God, the righteousness and sanctification and redemption, as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, with that, we're going to have to bring this Sunday school lesson to a close, but you come back to the next class, and we'll continue this study of the life of Christ together.